We've been in Psalm 23 for like 18 weeks. No, we haven't. This is like the fourth week. And you can watch them online, even though you probably won't. But we made it all the way to 23b, where he says, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, beside him, he leads us beside the still waters, the quiet or peaceful waters. Have you ever been beside quiet or peaceful waters? There's nothing like quiet, especially for parents. You get that quiet and you go, you might ask your spouse, you hear that? And they go, no, isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful, but then there's the panic one. You all remember that one. Do you hear anything? No. Uh-oh. You go running in and they've got the magic marker all over the wall because they're having a blast. We did that before and we had chalkboard paint. And the whole wall was chalk. That's the wall you color on. And you come in, and then they're on the other wall with Sharpies. And it's like, oh, my Lord. So you have this quiet that you're not even really sure what's going on. You have this panic one. But I think it's to be noted that our shepherd is the one that does all the work in getting us beside the quiet waters. It's he that does the work. So what is our job to do then? Our job's to trust and follow. Our job is to trust and follow, but I keep trying to make it happen and make it happen and make it happen. I don't know about you, but I've been on ranches and they create tanks. And I'm telling you, it takes work, it takes time, and it takes money. Now, I'm kind of from Pennsylvania. I'm kind of not. It depends on what advantage it is for me at the time. I was born in Texas. And so I got that going for me. I've been in Texas for 31 years. I grew up in Pennsylvania. So if we have a war, it just depends on which side I need to be in, you know, from the north or the south. But I know when I moved here, I didn't know what a tank was. They said, we're going to go fishing in a tank. Like a fishing tank? I mean, a little fish tank? Or I don't comprehend tank. I still haven't found anybody that can tell me what a tank is. Other than it holds water. Why is it called a tank? We call them ponds. A pond has water. And so I got here and he said, oh, that's a pond where you catch fish in. No, it's a tank. All right. A tank is something the military uses and shoots stuff with. I don't know it, but that's just kind of where, I don't know where this all stuff came from, but that's the way. Anybody know what a tank is? It holds water. It's a pond, okay. Touche, sir. But if you have a tank that's got big bass, please see me later. I would like to have a visit with you. We have some fun there. Well, like a sheep, and adults, human beings are kind of like sheep in the fact that 70% of their body weight is water. And so we have this stuff going on here, and I know this fact, and I still have a hard time drinking water. I have to put stuff in my water so that I can drink it. I don't know what the deal is with water. How many people struggle drinking water? Well, that's why they have Gatorade, and that's why they put sugar in it and stuff, so that we can drink water and feel good about it, because it's got electrolytes and all that other stuff that it doesn't help you. It just they just sell it. Drink more water, right? That's what they tell us. Drink more water, drink more. I know this, and I still have a hard time. I have to hold my nose and drink water. I don't know why. It's just a hard thing to do, is to just go out there and just drink water. When our guide, when I was in Israel, I'd never seen anybody enjoy water so much as this guy. It was creepy. It was creepy. He's like, don't you love water so much? It's the champagne of the earth, he says. It's like, what? Have you never tasted champagne? It's way better than this. The champagne of the earth. And he just couldn't get enough. And I was like, you're creeping me out. Please go away. Please go away. He was awesome, though. He was a good guy. And so we have all this stuff that we know, but without water and without clean water, some bad things can happen. And it gets bad fast. Last summer, we kind of saw that, didn't we? It got like 400 degrees in April and never stopped. Right? That's what it felt like. I mean, it just never stopped on us. And so we're out there making sure that the cattle have water everywhere. And I was taking care of a ranch for a week or two and went out there and making sure that the water wasn't. So I just asked him, I said, what happens if this well goes out? How long would it take for the cattle to do bad? He said, 2 days and they're dead. I was like, are you serious? They're big. they're big. And he goes, yes, and with this heat, if we don't get this fixed immediately and get them into another pasture or get them some water, within 2 days, they are going to be, they're going to be dead. It's just that important that we get filled up and we get filled up and we get filled up. We have to have it. And so if you don't have it, then dehydration can come in. All kinds of things can happen when you don't have water. It can lead to kidney failure. It can lead to all this. I used to do mission trips down into Mexico, way down in, a place called Samachique. And it was Indian Mexicans. And we went down in there, and we built a hospital, and they didn't have anything. So people were coming from 20 miles away, coming in and trying to get us to help them. And we're like, we're just building it. We have no idea. Next thing you know, we finally get a resident doctor in there. Our kids, we had a youth group, and we were bringing kids in there. They were sitting in on surgeries. They were sitting in on people having babies and all kinds of things down in there. And a lot of the babies were dying because of the water source. They were drinking from the river that come down through. Well, all the animals were drinking from it and going to the bathroom and all that. And it was killing their babies because they only had a half-inch pipe that led to their whole town of 1,200 people. And so we went up into the mountains and we dug water well from all the way up into the mountains, and we took summers and come back, and other churches were coming in and helping too. And we got water, fresh water source all the way down in, and it was about a 4-inch pipe, and they haven't had a case of that since. It was absolutely amazing to see what happens when you can get this good, clean water coming in and you don't have to worry about that kind of thing happening because it's good, clean water. Other than that, if you don't have that, you'll go and try to find it from anywhere. And they did. They had to have something to drink, so they went out there and they found it from wherever that they possibly could get it. And you wouldn't believe how many times that I go to the hospital on somebody that's got a heart attack, that it's dehydration. You wouldn't believe it. So they call me up and they say, hey, so-and-so's heart had a heart attack and they're 48 years old. I said, I bet they're dehydrated. What do you think, you're a doctor? No, I've just done this a lot of times, and then I freak out, and then I go in there, and they're like, oh, just dehydrated, sorry for the alarm, and everybody's been called, and everybody's coming in. He's had a heart attack. We have to drink water. The sheep have to have water. We have to have it, or else it's not very good for all of us. Thirsty. Have you ever been thirsty? Of course you have, because you're a human being. What happens when you're thirsty? Can your body just produce the water that you need? I'm thirsty. Body, I'm still waiting. Right? You're going to be waiting a long time. If you're supposed to think that you can just pray over it, I'm thirsty, body, fulfill me. Funny thing about being thirsty is that it indicates the need of the body to have its water supply replenished from a source outside itself. Think about that. When you get thirsty, your body is telling you that you need to get it replenished, and it can only come from a source outside of itself. Think about that in a spiritual sense. How many of us are hunger and thirsting for righteousness? How many of us do that? And if you think about it, that can only come from a source outside of yourself. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. Matthew 5:6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled or satisfied. It doesn't say you might be. It says that you will be. So how many in here are thirsty for righteousness? Me neither. I guess not. I mean, it doesn't seem like that many people are really hungry and thirsty for this righteousness that we need to have, that can only come from an outside source, which for us is the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can replenish you and give you what you need to continue to move on and move on and move on. I mean, last night we got to have another meeting with Peaches, and let me tell you something. She was being poured out. Well, if she don't get replenished, guess what? Nothing's going to happen for her. She's going to get worn out, get sick, and be just no good for anything. And so she's got the next few days where she's going from place to place to place to place to place. And we need to be praying for her. We need to be praying that God fills her up and fills her up because she's going all over the place. She's getting ready to go to Africa. And she's going to be ministering to a bunch of people over there. And let me tell you something, we can play a part in that, even if it's just praying. We have some missionaries here from Amsterdam. And they're out there telling people the gospel. We get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that. You'll be able to hear from them here in just a little bit. But we get to be a part of what God's doing, not only here in Llano, but beyond. We get to be a part of helping them, if it's just by praying for them. God, fill them up with your Spirit so that they can go out there and give of what they have. Can I tell you something? If you're trying to go out there and be spiritual and give spiritual things and you're not filled up, you're going to give of your own stuff and it's not going to work and it's going to be nothing. I've done that a long time. I used to seek God for sermons instead of seeking Him to live. And when I seek God to live, I get sermons. And I get life. And it changes me. We need Him. We need Him. And He's done everything that He has, that He can for us to have what we need to do whatever He asks us to do. John 7:37 says, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. That drink means to take in or believe. And if you take it in and believe, then it's a part of you. I mean, how dumb would that have sounded when Jesus said that to people? Hey, guys, if you want, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to put myself on the level of Jesus, but just imagine Jesus up here and He says, if any of you is thirsty, you just come on over here. I'm going to give you something to drink. Be like, that's weird. You got Coke Zero? You know, because I'm diabetic, I can't have the sugar. You know, I mean, what is He doing? You know, what is He doing? He says, come to me and let, come on. The woman at the well found it to be ridiculous. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, he comes through, he has to go from Jerusalem, he has to go up to Galilee, and there's a long, long trek. He had to go through Samaria, and so he says, I know it's enemy territory, we're going through it anyway. Because other than that, he would have to go completely around and take days and days and days to get around. So he goes up to Samaria through a town called Sychar. He goes there, he sits at a well, he tells the boys, go get me some food in the town there. And he sits down there, and here comes this woman. And he says, do you think you could give me a drink? She says, what are you talking about? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We don't like each other. What are you doing asking me for that? And I got to read it to you because here's Jesus' line to her. It's kind of weird. Verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Now this woman had been through enough men to last a lifetime. She had five husbands. The guy that she was with now was not her husband. I know that because I read ahead. Right? I know, I'm not making it up. That's what the Bible says. She had five husbands, the one that she wasn't with now. And all of a sudden, she's talking to this man. She doesn't know he's the Messiah. He's nothing special about him other than he's just a Jew. He's probably going to treat her bad. He said, and if you knew the gift of God and who it was that's asking you for a drink, you would ask me. I'd have given you living water. She must have said, that's the dumbest pickup line I've ever heard. I mean, think about it. She's used to men being around her, and she's kind of going, that is way out there. And so she starts smarting off with him back and forth. Well, go ahead and give it to me. I don't want to keep drawing from the well. And finally he says, well, go get your husband. He never answers her questions the way he's supposed to. She said, go get your husband. I don't have one. I mean, think about her. She's probably got a smart mouth. I don't have one. He goes, you're right. You've had five. And the one you're with now is not even your husband. So you're right when you say you don't have a husband. And that's when the aha moment, she goes, oh, crud. Oopsie. This guy's different. I don't think he's trying to hit on me. And then she says, I can see that you're a prophet. Sorry. Are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? He had every right to go, yep, pretty much. I was there. I saw him do it. And so he's got all these things that he keeps telling her. And If you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Women, would you fall for that? I might try it. Oh, hey, I got some living water. Maybe I'll text it first. I got this living water. Maybe you would like it. You'll never thirst again, ever. Meet you at the coffee shop for whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the... Shut up, James. All right. Get myself in trouble. And so these Samaritans, they hate each other. They hate each other. And this Jews, and so she's sitting there, she's caught in this thing, and he finally tells her, drink the water you give, and it'll become a spring of life inside of you. She starts to believe him. Maybe I should have this. I mean, they really didn't like each other. And back in Luke chapter 9, I got to read this one to you because this is how much they did not like each other. Luke 9, 51 to 55 says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He was going there. He knew he was going to be crucified. And he sent messengers on ahead, and he went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. That's awesome! I mean, Jesus, we know they treated you bad. You want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? James and John were the sons of thunder. And they're just like, they're waiting for a fight. They can't wait to get in a fight half the time. Jesus, we are with you. We will fight to the death. We have got you. And can you imagine Jesus having that, and he rebukes them? I don't think his rebuke is like what we think. The sons of thunder come in. You want us to call down fire and destroy them? It could be awesome. They had just got sent out two by two, and they had been healing everybody. And they're just like, we've got this. They're the enemy. We're going to destroy them. It's going to be cool. And I can imagine Jesus going, yes, I want you to, but this is not the way that we're going to do things. Can you imagine Jesus, just the rebuke? He does everything in love. I can't imagine him sitting there going, you're such idiots. I've been with you forever. And what are you thinking? No, I just can't see him doing that. That's how I would do it. No, I would have just said, yeah, destroy him by fire. It's going to be cool. It's going to be amazing. Can you imagine if you had people that just were in opposition to you and you could just call down fire? Not many people would be alive. Everybody would have, I want that power. I want that one. So they really didn't like each other. Even the disciples knew that this was not the way that it was supposed to be. And so because of this woman, going back to the woman at the well, because she ended up really believing in this, she goes back into town. And now picture this. You see the, I got to be careful how what I call her. You see this woman coming in, and we know about her reputation. And she comes running into Journey, and she goes, James, I met a man. Yeah, sure you did. Another one. Surprise, you met another man. Wow. And she goes, he told me everything I ever did. It's in the Bible. And it's like, and he still likes you? I mean, because you're kind of gross. You're kind of gross. And she goes, you won't believe. I think he's the Messiah. And all of a sudden, people start this well, because she believed. It wasn't something she drank. She believed in him. And all of a sudden, this well of living water came up inside of her. And this woman of ill repute comes into the town, and they start listening to her about this life that she just found and believed her. I can't even tell a person at the supermarket that God loves them. I get all sweaty. I'm like, is that you, God, or is that you, Satan? Oh, my God. Oh, I'm supposed to tell her that God loves her. Oh, my gosh. She's going to think I'm hitting on her, and then I got to do the living water thing, and I don't know what to do here. I don't know. Why do we have a hard time with that? Maybe we just start with that. Telling somebody that God loves them, that he's got a plan for you, that he just cannot get enough of you. Ooh. Maybe because you don't believe it yourself. You can't love other people if you don't love you. I know Pete just keeps telling me, you know, James, you got to get over yourself, and then you got to get over people. I'm trying to learn to be free. I'm trying. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how to be free the way that God wants me to be free. But when I try to make it happen, it gets worse. But when I let him do it in me, and I just come up and I worship, and when I come up and I just spend time with him, it happens. And it's happening, and it's happening, and I don't know what's going to happen at Journey. I'm, quite honestly, a little terrified. I want to be free. I want to be free.
And he said he's done everything he can and everything to make sure that I am free. I just want to be free. Drinking from the deep wells of God, it sounds great, doesn't it? I'm going to drink from the deep well of God. What we don't take into account, I think, is that we don't take the count of what path we may have to take to get there. And sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes it's scary. And a little bit further in the Psalm 23, I think that's where David goes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I don't know where you came from, but when anytime mom and dad broke out the rod and the staff, it didn't comfort me. So I'm going to have to do a little more studying on that one because it probably means something different, I hope. And so, but here we go, and we can trust him. We can trust him, and we can trust him, and we can trust him. It's not very comforting sometimes when you're hurting, when you're angry, and you can't see past your pain. Sometimes it's just very difficult. And it's in these places that we discover that's only he that can satisfy us. I have gone looking for him in all the wrong places. And look, and I look, and I look. And then even when I screw it up, then I blame God. I blame other people instead of just going, "I'm a sinner. Please save me." Every day. And live in his grace. And live in the freedom that he died to give me. Only God can make sense and purpose and meaning come out of these situations that otherwise leave us really, really confused and lost. This past week or two, we had a first grader attempt suicide. We've had people taken from their home. Kids, 3 days old. What do we do? What do you tell those people? What do you tell the parents? Just trust in God. It's going to be okay. Most of the time, they don't want to hear that. I know I didn't. A lot of times, it's just knowing that somebody's there and reminding them that God has you and he loves you. You don't underestimate what a hug can do, too. You just never know. We're here. We love you, and we hope that's why we have the prayer lines. Because we have people praying for you. They can't wait to be praying for you. They can't wait. Get over ourselves, please. Ask for the help. We want to. We want to help. We want to be a part of what God's doing. And so as we close it out today, we have the Lord, he is my shepherd. Remember, this is a shepherd king that's talking this way, and he put himself in the position of a sheep. If you can't follow, you will never lead. If you can't follow, you will never ever lead. The Lord, he is my shepherd. I don't need for anything. He creates a safe place for me to rest, and he leads me to the quiet, peaceful waters. If you're not in relationship with him, none of this really matters. At the end of each service, we like to put in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the first step. And that's when, honestly, the church needs to take over and say, hey, this is when we're going to come in and help. Because babies are messy. Babies are just messy. And we are surprised when they are messy. We get surprised. And so we don't need to be surprised by it. God is not surprised by it. He gets it. And so I think that we're in good hands. I think we can safely say, the Lord, he is my shepherd. And I can trust that. And so we will have people that are willing to pray with you after the service. And I'm going to pray for us now. And then I'm going to bring up some very special people here. Lord, we thank you so much for getting us through each and every day. Lord, I pray that you would help us to start focusing more on why we can praise you instead of why we're afraid of you. All the reasons that we have to praise you so that we can get our mind off the circumstances and know that you are true when you say that you can turn anything into good for those that love you. So, Lord, I pray that we're guilty of praising you too much and thanking you for all the wonderful things that you do for us every day. You are truly too good to be true. And we're grateful for that. We get the benefits of that. Thank you for your son who came down here as a perfect representation of you and show us exactly who you are and just how much you love us. So we say back to you, we love you, Lord. And we ask that you show us more of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.